Husbands and wives have a solemn responsibility to love and care for each other and for their children. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Parents have a sacred duty to rear their children in love and righteousness.
We welcome you to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Gospel Solutions is a program that promotes gospel living amid the everyday challenges and opportunities of marriage and family life. I'm Matthew O. Richardson, second counselor in the Sunday School General Presidency, and today I'm joined with two guests, Sister Ann Dibb, who is the second counselor of the General Young Women's Presidency. Welcome, Ann.
Thank you. Great to be here.
It's nice to have you here, as always. We also have joining us today is Jan Taylor, who is a member of the Primary General Board. Welcome, Jan.
Thank you.
Today we will be discussing focusing on the Savior during the holidays, and boy, if there's ever a time that we can use a little bit of help, I think that it's during the holidays. What a wonderful time, and yet what a time where in some ways there's so many distractions we sometimes miss, I like this proverbial saying, the reason for the season. And so I am thrilled to have two experts in family living and gospel living who love the Savior. I know this for a fact, love the Savior.
That's right.
And love what is taking place within families to be able to help us to find ways that we can focus on Jesus Christ and the Savior, His mission, all aspects of that great plan during this wonderful season. So I'm ready to almost jump in. So what are your thoughts about the experience of keeping the Savior focused at a time when we say this is all about Jesus Christ anyway?
Well, personally, if you don't mind my starting, I just believe that the world is presenting such a materialistic impression of what Christmas is about that as parents, we need to keep a clear focus as to what we want to do within our own families and then model that testimony and belief with our children.
I like this a lot. So in other words, we have a sacred, almost, that's my wording, a sacred responsibility of parents to set that picture. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
And so this is our right, but it's almost, it seems in the world today, it's really not just a right or a privilege, it's a responsibility.
I think it's a necessity.
Okay.
And also, so this is something that as parents, we should counsel together and far in advance as to how we want to invite the Spirit into our homes during that Christmas time.
Frame that out for me a little bit. So here you have a mother and a father counseling together and saying, how are we going to do this in our home? What might that include or what topics should be brought up or discussed, Jan?
Why not do it in a family home evening?
Oh, you mean include everyone in this?
Oh, absolutely. If you can get the children on board, it's going to go a lot more smoother right from the beginning.
Okay. And so what type of things? Are we talking about music? Are we talking about setting limits on traditions, whether we're going to have any type of festivities or not, or only Mormon Tabernacle Choir playing? How might this work in real living?
Well, personally, I think that, you know, both, again, I'm going to say parents first and then the family home evening. But again, as children participate in all of these things in a family, it does increase the love and increase the feelings of home, which should be ever present in our families. But I think it is important for the husband and wife to discuss about the traditions. What traditions are we going to continue on with? Which ones that we feel may not be serving us well in inviting the Spirit into our home at all times. Maybe some are causing, you know, some stress that could be eliminated or at least downplayed somewhat.
This is good. This is good. Jen?
Well, along that line of traditions, you can also take some of those traditions and bring this spiritual aspect into it.
Give me an example of something like this. This is really a good thought about this.
Well, Christmas lights, for example.
Okay.
We all enjoy Christmas lights. And
I know I enjoy them. I don't like putting them up very much, but I enjoy them once they're up.
I understand that. I understand that a great deal. But we do enjoy it, and we enjoy looking at the lights. And many have a tradition to go to the nearby temple and walk around the temple and see the lights that may be put up at this time of year. And the thing is, why not make it a spiritual experience and bring Christ into it? Talk about the temple and the purpose of it. Talk about the Christmas lights. Jesus is the light of the world.
This is great. As a matter of fact, it's interesting when you say something like that of how many of the traditional Christmas symbols are actually steeped in Christian background. Everything from candy canes, you name it, where we start to look at a shepherd's crook, etc., which really have a nice tie if we as parents use those already used symbols, almost saturation to the point of saturation, to be able to turn minds to say, hey, here's something to consider. I really like this thought. This is excellent. Other thoughts on what we might do?
I think that we could, again, just invite the spirit of Christmas by following the Savior during that month, recognizing the great gift which the Father gave to us by having His Son serve as the individual that would fulfill the atonement so that we could return to Him. And so try to serve one another during that month. Recognize the needs that may exist in your own family, and then strive to be kinder, more helpful, more patient during that season. And I think it would invite the Spirit.
You know, this is nice, and especially as we start to discuss this within families, and I like the early aspect of that is talking about how we might emulate the Savior in many different ways. And the beautiful part about this, regardless if you're newlyweds or if you have little children or teenagers or empty nesters, this is something that is applicable to every single individual of emulating the Savior in unique and wondrous ways, but personal ways. I like this idea. I can't help but think, and this just popped into my mind, we had a family home evening to discuss this, and our children brought up, well, maybe we can help in ways that people don't expect. And one of our younger children said, how about if we go to a movie theater and we buy 25 tickets for the next 25 people standing in line? That's something. Now, whether or not that's something the Savior would do, I like the thought of how can we help in unexpected ways. And so we went up and we did that. And so we said we want to buy the tickets for the next 25 people, and we just like to tell them Merry Christmas, and that we hope that they'll have a wonderful holiday and it'll be a giving holiday or something like that. And then we went and sat in the car and we watched people come up. And it was really nice for several different reasons. It was born on how do we emulate the Savior. It was an idea of one of our children who was saying, here's the way that I interpret that or see that. And then we enjoyed the outcome together. Does that make sense?
Yes. What I loved about that idea is, again, it goes back to what you said, Jan, as we incorporate our children's suggestions, it makes them feel of value, and it will be what they remember. And so that's what we want during Christmas, those Christmases we remember best.
You know, and there's something about that. Christmases that we remember are usually the Christmases that are tied with something very meaningful. Because we used to do this. I don't know if you've ever done this, as we talk to family members. So what did you get for Christmas last year? And sometimes everyone is hard-pressed to remember what they got as a gift, but they remember experiences that are shared that are tied with meaning. So if as families we can find ways to present meaningful experiences, and meaningful, it seems, are always tied with the Savior.
I want to share a personal experience.
I hope you will.
When we had a tradition when our children were little that in each bedroom we would put up our own nativity scene.
Oh, okay.
And I'll never forget when our youngest son was maybe 2-3 years old. He was just barely talking. And I would pull out the figures and say, you know, this is the cow. What is the cow saying? He would respond correctly. But this is the part I'll never forget. When I pulled out the figure that represented the mother of Jesus, and I said, who is this? He said, Mary had a little lamb. And I laughed. I think I laughed out loud. But here's the thing. For 20-some-odd years now, I have never forgotten that saying and how profound that was. Because Mary did have a little lamb. She had the Lamb of God, and He's the one who sacrificed for us. And I was taught by this little 2-3-year-old that day for 20-some-odd years. So it proves what you said, that a lot of our memories of Christmas are tied to those experiences.
And they're very small and simple experiences.
And that's exactly
this
right.
This is good. I like what you're saying here, is because sometimes what takes place is the unexpected becomes actually mm-hmm. the best expectation. So I think of the way the Lord said this in Doctrine and Covenants, where he says, out of small things come great outcomes. You know, when it comes, it's the small things. And sometimes what we do is we enable things to take place with the right spirit, mm-hmm. with somewhat of a plan. And as you know, even the best plans produce some of the best results, but they're not what we expected or even desired. But we're trying our very best, and then great things come out of that. And I love this example. And I couldn't help but think that you learned a lesson for all those years. But surely, I'll bet as a mother, you referred back to that with that child as they were growing and deeper meanings were shared throughout their lifetime, which was kind of a very special personal experience of teaching.
Yes. In fact, he was on his mission just last year at Christmas time, and I remember writing to him, do you remember this experience?
Oh, this is great.
And then he and I both shared our testimony of the Savior as we corresponded back and forth of what it meant to be the Lamb of God.
Great. This is super. Any other thoughts that come to mind of ways that we can focus on the Savior in this time period?
Well, it was always modeled for me, the importance of reaching out and serving others, and especially those, the elderly.
Okay.
And many times I remember as a child not really enjoying those visits, that I would go along with my parents as they would visit a widow. And yet, I didn't recognize the value of that moment at the particular time. But now, I do.
Okay.
And sometimes, as parents, we can listen to some complaining from our children and think that what we want to present has no value. But it does have value. It's just that many times our children don't recognize it at that time.
This is nice. Now, let me ask you, how did you come to go along with your parents on these visits? Why were you there?
Actually, I don't believe I was given a choice,
okay.
Matt.
So you're invited. I'll use
yes.
that word, invited or asked, uh-huh. or you're coming as far as that goes. But something, I guess what I'm getting at is your parents were saying, this is something of value. We're
yes.
going to bring along, and we're inviting you along. Because in some ways, I look at it as a parent, sometimes out of efficiency, it's like, you know, it'd be easier if my wife and I just hurry and went and did this, and we could get this done quickly. But if we start to load the kids in the car, or we start to do this, it becomes a project. But yet, mm-hmm. what you're saying, there's great value here.
There is. And also, sometimes with older individuals, they miss children. And it is a great gift for these widows, or whoever the case may be, for them to be able to hold a child in their arms again. And that is the gift. It probably means more than any article, any gift that you may have brought.
This is nice. Jen?
You know what? That's true, Anne. In fact, the experience blesses both ways. Mm-hmm. It blesses the person being visited, but also the people who are visiting. You know, we've found that in our family. And what you were saying, Matt, about, oh, sometimes it's a hassle to load all the children up in the car. I hear you. We've been there. But I also know that it's well worth it. We had an experience several years ago where a local mall donated poinsettias that they had decorated the mall with at Christmas time. And it was Christmas Eve. And we piled the children in the car. And we gathered these poinsettias and had the opportunity to deliver something like 200 poinsettias to people in a nearby hospital. And my children still talk about that to this day. So it's well worth the experience and the hassle that you may feel like you're encountering at the time.
You know, and I am saddened to think that in many cases, these wonderful outcomes are really tempered or even non-existent simply because it's too much of a hassle. And so we don't allow – it's just not worth it. And this is a confession. I probably shouldn't confess this, but in many cases, I find sometimes when a project or an idea or something's coming up and I know it might be a little bit difficult, I start repeating to myself, and my wife teases me about this. It is worth it. It is worth it. This will work. It is worth it. Because I have found what you're saying, Jan. It always is worth it in the long run. And so to say, out of convenience, we're not going to do this, it is not worth it to miss the opportunity.
Wait till you're a grandparent. because for some reason, as I've become a grandparent, I have a lot more patience and I'm a lot more willing to go through that. I'm more than willing to give my grandchildren that experience.
Oh, that is so good.
That's sweet.
Share with me some ideas for those who perhaps don't have children. Maybe a young couple that is just starting their family, they're just married. What might they do in a situation to be able to take an exciting time and focus on the Savior in the holiday season together, in a young family, in a starting family?
I think one way they could do this is let's focus on maybe reading the words of one of the Christmas hymns, the Christmas carols, each day, or singing it together, or reading a scripture, and just each day have some focus on inviting the Savior into their home.
I like this.
And so this is just, again, something small that they could do, just a part of their little devotional that they could have with each other.
I like this. As a matter of fact, sometimes when we get into Christmas music, Christmas music is beloved by so many people, and they can't wait to get started on it in July, you know, or maybe a little bit of August.
It has to be after Thanksgiving.
Okay. Maybe we can talk about that in just a second. But you bring up an aspect of Christmas music that I think is untapped, is we get so used to it that sometimes we hear melodies and it goes into the background. But when we make a conscientious effort to read or to notice the words, most of the Christmas music is really quite lovely when it comes down, and it's focused on the Savior, actually, and aspects of his life. But sometimes we lose that in the aspect. So I like that aspect of reading through or even singing often with a purposeful intent of seeing what's in the hymns or music.
A lot of times you can find how it originated.
Mm-hmm.
And that, too,
is inspiring.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, exactly.
And also reading the accompanying scriptures in the hymn book that, you know, you can read the words and then go to those two scriptures that are usually included. And they're very powerful and, again, bless us.
That's great. Jan?
I know a young couple that does that for their scripture study in December. They take and they study the birth of the Savior in each of the Gospels and also in the Book of Mormon.
Oh, what a great idea. That's super. And then they're having a great experience with that and learning together, and that's great.
Can I share, too? I think another great gift is, I guess, again, I'm just noticing some of these elderly individuals that have just blessed my life, especially right now. And sometimes some things are quite difficult for them to do. Even putting out their Christmas decorations can be challenging. And so as a young couple, maybe you could ask if, you know, that they would be interested if you could help them put out their Christmas decorations.
That is so nice.
And it would just bless them and it would bless you as well.
You know, we found with our children, with my wife's grandmother, she was in an assisted care center and needed that type of a help. And we would take our children, and it became somewhat of a family tradition of decorating the tree. And the kids would do it because her ornaments all had stories.
Uh-huh.
And as the kids would go to put the ornaments on the tree, it gave their grandmother a chance to recount stories, and it was holiday bliss. It was really a sweet experience where, as you were saying, Jan, is everyone was blessed by the experience. And even though it was a yearly event, it was a wondrous and a new event almost each time we would do it. Jan?
I'm just thinking, what a great family binding experience where this grandmother was able to share those experiences with those children. And you know they're going to repeat those stories forever.
I agree. Okay, mention was made about music and when it's appropriate to start holiday Christmas music, etc. And Ann, you expressed an opinion there.
It is my opinion.
And there are others that would go through and express another opinion as well. But there's something interesting that I want to touch upon and get your thoughts on this from a principle standpoint, not just the practical application standpoint. I don't think that this is my personal opinion. It's an accident that we have Thanksgiving preceding Christmas in a way. And in some ways, I think that if we are purposeful in the way we approach things and serve as a gatekeeper in allowing things to take place, it can provide tremendous blessings in the events to come. My family and my children would probably roll their eyes at this point and start to mimic me as I say this, because I've said it so many times, is, and this is an opinion, but I don't know if we can appropriately prepare ourselves and celebrate Christmas without preparing through Thanksgiving. Because I think Thanksgiving can set a tone that if we focus on that, it propels the season into a new
forward.
Spirit
mm-hmm.
and forward. Any thoughts on this?
It's true, but you've got to make sure your focus on Thanksgiving is on the gratitude and the Thanksgiving.
Amen. And I like this. And so once again, parents have a responsibility mm-hmm. to be able to say, how do we focus Thanksgiving on principles that are everlasting principles of gratitude? I think of Paul's writings in Thessalonians, where it's a simple two-word verse, rejoice evermore. You know, and I'm thinking, okay, there's something going on here. So how do we help our children, our families, our spouse, our extended family, our neighbors to feel rejoicing? Because if we have the spirit of rejoicing and gratitude appropriately, that does propel us into a different spirit in the commercialized view of Christmas, et cetera, I think.
I think it can be to such an extent that when they come home, it's a refuge, because they will feel the real meaning of Christmas within their home. Now, sometimes I think as parents, that may require us as well to be mindful of our time and our resources. And sometimes as we plan ahead, we won't be as rushed and feel as much pressure as we may in another situation. And so, again, doing those things as a parent that would invite the Spirit so that we can enjoy the full measure of this beautiful season.
This is nice. This is nice. If I go back to the young couples, one of the reasons I brought that up is I think back in my own experience, is so many of our traditions were set when we were first married and we were trying to figure out the right way and the wrong mm-hmm. way to do holidays. And of course, the right way was the way that we were raised.
That's right.
You know, and then you take someone else and you're like, mm-hmm. were you raised by heathens? What's going on here? You know, kind of a thing. You're not doing it the right way. But looking back on it, it was a wonderful time to be able to come together and really kind of what we have been mentioning here is purposefully say, what are we trying to accomplish and how do we create traditions that bring about an outcome that we intend? And finding the way to do that, I think there's great power in finding that way. And I give credit and am grateful to my wife who had such insight, even though we were very young, to be able to make sure that we were having traditions that had meaning to them rather than just this is a time where we do A, B, mm-hmm. or C, but we do A because of this reason. And I think that that's an important part. So when parents evaluate and when families get together and discuss, it's a purposeful experience of setting holiday traditions that have great meaning and power.
You know, I will say something. This is a tradition, but it has value for me. And that is, I do like to cook at Christmas time. And now I recognize again that for me, that's part of the Christmas season is the smell of baking. And that's what my children remember it as. And they knew exactly what I would be making, you know, as I would kind of give some of my gifts. But also the sweet connection as I would give my gift. And then because they received the same gift, my friends, every single year, I said, oh, she's come with her almond cake, whatever. And that was meaningful for my children. And now it's sweet to see my daughter, what gift does she give to her friends? Her almond cake.
Did you involve your children in your baking?
Not as much as I should have, because I did not plan ahead as well as I should. But I always had them help me in the deliveries. And, of course, they had to sample the ones that didn't turn out quite as well.
Oh, what a torturous experience.
Yes. Well,
you know, and I like this because in some cases my wife is similar in the same way is it's giving of yourself in that situation. I know that cooking, as far as that goes for some people, say, oh, it's just this or that or the other thing. But in some ways, it's an extension of an individual's
expression of love.
It is. And they look at it as almost a sacrifice, or at least they should. And I'm the first to remind my children it is a sacrificial experience. What we're enjoying here is coming from the hard labors. But we've kind of enlisted them in peeling and doing everything and else for holiday experiences as you're part of
more.
This. Mm-hmm. But yet I love the fact that when it comes down to it, my mother's the same way, is when it comes to holidays, is one of my first and earliest memories is the things that my mother would prepare. And it wasn't the pie. It was my mother's pie that mm-hmm. made it so unique and so special.
What was the smell? What was the smell in your home at Christmas time?
Oh, yeah. It was of everything my mom was doing. And sometimes we used to tease mom as we were saying, oh, who is this for? Because obviously this isn't for us. You know, all the good stuff's going out the door. But my mom learned from those little complaints. And so she'd always double so that the family, so we knew that we were in the love as well.
Well, and the reason why you enjoyed it so much and the people who received it is because they felt your mother's love.
That's mm-hmm. good.
Through it.
That's good. Well, we're short on time, as usual, is what most people say about the holidays. Gee, they just started and now they're over. But I think time flies when we are not only just having fun, but when we're having great experiences. So if I were to put you on the spot, which I'm going to do as far as that would be, is if you were to say to families and say, here's one of my treasured suggestions to be able to have the Savior in your holidays, I think that this is the important part. If you're going to sit down and evaluate and think about what's been working good, what you wish you wouldn't do, what you might start doing, what is something you might offer to a family in any given circumstance that might help them to find the Savior in the holiday season?
I would say read the scriptures.
Okay.
But not just read them, discuss them and what they mean.
And I'm assuming that this is more than just reading, as good as it is, Luke 2 on Christmas mm-hmm. Eve.
Right.
Okay.
Take that month and enjoy it. And if you only get through one verse in your allotted time or whatever, as long as you're having a meaningful discussion, that's great. And always have a song in your heart.
That's great.
Especially a song about the Savior.
That's nice. That's nice. Thank you. Anne?
Sometimes for some people, Christmas is a very difficult time. To be mindful of others' needs and whether they've had a death in their family mm-hmm. at a prior Christmas, whether there's unemployment, whatever their situation, a sickness, many times all they need is just someone to say, I care and I love you. You know, I would hope, too, that our families would recognize the feelings that they have at Christmas time, that these can be extended. They can be extended, the love that we feel and the concern and caring and the joy that we feel during these times. We can have that same feeling in January, in May, in August, as we forget ourselves and focus on others. Again, in the smallest ways, in acts of gratitude and thanks. And who was our exemplar of having done this? It's our Savior. One thing I just learned recently, I made the connection, I don't know how I missed it all these years, is just even by recognizing in my home growing up, we always heard the mansion and the Christmas carol. But I was listening to a talk, and this man said, and what is the Christmas carol about? It is about change.
Right.
Submitting ourselves to the willingness to change our lives and give them to our Savior. And it took me a long time to figure that out. But for me, that is the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that it's a time of change.
This is so good. I can't help when I'm listening to things that have been said to think back on the First Presidency's Christmas devotional just a year ago. By the way, that's one of my favorite traditions within the church. And if there's, and I love the timing of
it
comes
start.
Early. It is the start. Mm-hmm. And what does it do? There are beautiful decorations. There always have been. The setting is just so wonderful. But the message, it is true. And it focuses on the right way from the very beginning. It sets our course. And I think of President Monson's address last year where he said, when he comes down, he says, Christmas is what we make of it. And I thought, you know, that is so powerful. We make this experience. And then he went and he said this, despite all the distractions, we can see to it that Christ is at the center of our celebration. If we have not already done so, we can establish Christmas traditions for ourselves and for our families, which will help us capture and keep the spirit of Christmas. And so I think that sometimes we look at our situation, our circumstances, say there's nothing really we can do. This is the way it is. This is where I live. This is the culture. This is the way everyone does it. But yet I love what our dear prophet has said, and all prophets from every dispensation have said, we look to Christ to set our tone, and you have a responsibility to make it so. And I think that's great. And so we bring our episode to a close, and I appreciate your comments. And I just echo President Monson's closing comments from last year's Christmas devotional, where he said, this is my plea tonight, because when we keep the spirit of Christmas, we keep the spirit of Christ, for the Christmas spirit is the Christ spirit. And then I love this last line. It will block out all the distractions around us, which can diminish Christmas and swallow up its true meaning. This is good. Thank goodness for prophets, seers, and revelators, and thank goodness for our Savior, Jesus Christ. So with that, I appreciate your comments, and we would wish heartily a Merry Christmas and focusing on the Savior to all those who are listening at this wonderful time. You have been listening to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.